morning, everyone. Welcome to Lakeside. Oh, it's going again. Oh, there it is. I just want to welcome you to Lakeside and everybody that's online. We want to welcome you for being online as well. I wanted to mention real quick just how deeply appreciative I am, our leadership team as well, our staff and elders. We are so extremely appreciative of everybody's cooperation and their spirit. If I were to make a list of all the little things that we have to do differently, it's a pretty long list, and sometimes church people aren't the most quick to want to change and adapt and have their routine messed with, but you guys have been amazing. It's been a blessing, actually, and it's allowed us to concentrate our energies on doing what's helpful for everybody instead of trying to bring everybody onto the same page. So thank you for that, and I want to say for those of you here but also online that we're doing services here in the building on Sunday at 9 and 10:30. And as I look out right now, this is for the online folks, there's seats available in the 9 o'clock hour, and I can't count how many, but there's quite a few seats that are available. Everybody's socially distanced, and people come in with their masks, they leave with their masks on, you come and you can fellowship out in the parking lot, but there's room at the 9 o'clock hour. I wanna say for this group and people online, at 10:30, we have about half as many folks. There's a lot of room in second service, and so if you wanna come to a service and you still feel like maybe you're too close to each other or you want less traffic, we sanitize everything between the services, and at 10:30 there's more room. And then we also got classrooms that you can meet in with just your family or whatever if you want to watch the service live in other parts of our building. So anyway, just a couple things, and I thank you guys for all that. As I've been studying the Proverbs, I've realized that we can acquire wisdom in a couple different directions. We can acquire wisdom like looking backwards over our lives, right? And so we can reflect on life's experiences, life's regrets, our mistakes that we've made, and yes, even our sins. And so we can reflect on the experiences of others as well. We can look at, that's why history is important, is that we don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes throughout history. There's nothing really new under the sun. We can look back and learn actually from our history. We don't have to erase it. We can actually kind of embrace it and understand it and grow because of it. And so it's like they say, hindsight is 20/20. And I love looking back and reflecting with myself, with other people, about what we've learned in life. When I read the Proverbs, I find myself saying things like, yep, and yeah, and oops, and you know, hand to the forehead, duh, and I should have, I could have, I would have, but the most important thing is I've got it now, okay? And so Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived, and there's no question that God gave him wisdom to look forward, which is the other way we can learn wisdom, but he also learned from mistakes that he made. And so a lot of what you find in Proverbs are reflections that are very important. So we can acquire wisdom looking forward too. So the Proverbs prepares us, it prepares me and you, to have wisdom in things that are not yet experienced. Isn't it great that we can learn without having experienced something firsthand? Like, I don't need to go through the negative experience or whatever it is in order to be prepared and learn ahead of time. And so if I can humble myself, and if I can take these Proverbs to heart and really meditate on them and be patient to pray through them, they can insulate me and you as well from a lot of pain. They can insulate us from our own foolishness, from the foolishness of others, from sin, from folly, and so forth. In fact, what I'll say is that the essence of parenting, mentoring, coaching, teaching, discipleship, pastoring, it is really instilling wisdom kind of preemptively, and not just in kind of a reactionary way or retroactively, but preemptively. We want to live better going forward. That's the only way we can live is going forward. So how can we do that best? And so we're at the middle, we're just getting into the heart of this series, and we've talked about three topics: fearing God. We talked about honoring and respecting the previous generation, parents. And last week, I appreciate your patience last week, but we talked about 12 ways to destroy wealth and 12 ways to build wealth. That was my first 24-point sermon. But, you know, it was comprehensive, and we tried to fly through things, but the Proverbs are teaching us how to live better. And they're giving us content and knowledge to help other folks and to serve other folks in so many different ways. Well, when I look back on my life, I say, man, I wish I would have feared God differently and more fully and earlier in life. I wish that I, with my parents, for example, that I was much more receptive to their wisdom, but I wasn't completely closed off to it. Otherwise, I'd be a total mess today. I wish that there were ways that I would have built wealth instead of destroying wealth, just based on the stuff we talked about. But this morning, you know, we can't redo the past, but we can live better going forward. And so this morning, what I want to talk about are friendships. And you read Proverbs, and you can't ignore the theme of friendships. And I'm like, that is such a mundane, simple topic. Like, you wouldn't think to preach a whole sermon just on friendships. And yet, friendships are so vital and so core to who we are and who we're becoming that we need to talk about friendships, and we need to teach the next generation and other people how to have better friendships. And so this morning as I talk, I'm going to flash some screens up on some scriptures up on the screen, and I'm going to talk about them, and you can read them, you can write them down. You can go online later, download the message, which is what I recommend, so you're not getting frustrated writing down a bunch of stuff. But I hope that these proverbs will stir in you some reflection about this important theme of friendship and some of the other topics we're going to get into. So I want to share some lessons I've learned about friendship, and these are reflections on proverbs that I've been reading and studying. And so I've got five lessons about friendship that I've learned and tried to grow through. One is, I am totally struck by the sheer power, the influence that friendships have. And so the scriptures don't mince words about the power that relationships have potentially to derail us in life, derail our families, derail our future, derail our prosperity, derail a lot of things. But more specifically, friendships can derail our love for God and our fear, and our love for people as well. They can enhance or derail the most important aspects of our life. That's how powerful friendships are. You can't minimize or overstate the importance of them. And early in life, I had far more relationships that led me away from God than I did relationships that led me toward God. But at the time, especially when I was a younger man and a young boy, I didn't really care about that. I was carnal. I was fleshly. I was worldly. I was drawn to just about anyone who could break up the monotony and the boredom of my life. And it was like, if they asked me to go, I'm like, let's go. And fortunately, that changed. But friendships are like that. This is exactly what we see at the top of Proverbs. One of the first topics that comes up is the father telling his son, let's talk about your friendships, your relationships. Proverbs 1, 10 through 14. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, come with us, let us ambush and kill someone, let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Underline that phrase. Just for fun, seriously? Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder and just throw in your lot with us and we'll all share in the loot. Okay, I've never entertained ambushing or killing someone, all right? Confession. But I can tell you as a young person, Laura wanted me to clarify this to make sure it wasn't like as a young minister like last year or something like that. But anyway. But as a young person, I allowed myself to be enticed into bullying the weak a lot. Shameful things. I let friends entice me into criminal activity, like vandalizing the school property. I didn't break windows. I soaped. I TP'd. We did just about everything you could, short of like, anyway. But it was still a major deal, and the police were involved. It wasn't good. Committing theft at the local grocery store as a young person, lighting illegal fireworks, damaging business properties. I won't get too specific on that one. Watching dirty movies. You see, your friends entice and they draw you into things out of boredom. Hey, let's go have some fun. Let's go do this or do that. And the pretext Keep in mind, the pretext is always, let's have some fun. So friends, they have this inordinate power and influence over us. They entice. Why? Because they know us best. And because they can be so persuasive, they know how to appeal to the weakest part of our nature, the broken parts of our character. They know our vulnerabilities. They're so powerful to entice. And boy, do friends ever pressure. And so it feels like if you say no to your friends, the whole world is going to stop. The whole world's going to end. I'm going to be isolated and sentenced to some remote island for the rest of my life with a soccer ball that I have to make my best friend or whatever. You know, like if you say no to your friends, like it just seems like, life's going to stop. And not only do friends expect full commitment, they always draw a line. Come with us. What happens is, if you don't come with us, if you don't go with them, they're perfectly content to cancel us out, write us off, go find other friends that are willing to go along. And I'm just confessing to you that all too long, that pressure has led me not toward God, but away from God. And that's the power of friendships, and that's what the Father is talking about. Now, there's so much I could confess, but I will say that as a young person at the time, I thought I knew what was best for me. I thought I knew what was best for my life. And that's an attitude that not just young people have. And so I knew what was best for me, and so I intentionally kept my parents in the dark about who my friends were, about what we were planning, and as a young person, I mean, I had this dark, kind of sinful, fleshly, rebellious, God-hating, like parent-hating, not with a capital H, but still disrespecting my parents. And here is the wisdom. Here is the true reality, wisdom in retrospect of that sin. My parents, you know, your parents, and if you don't have godly parents, you can substitute the name of a godly person that maybe was in your life. I didn't want their opinion. I knew they wouldn't approve of the things that I was thinking about or the things that I was doing. It helped that my parents were very busy with work and other things. They didn't pay attention always. They weren't able to. And that was to my advantage. I used that to my, not to my advantage, but I used it to my disadvantage. How's that? But my parents, here's the reality. They had far greater perspective on my life than I ever would have cared to admit, especially as a young person. At one time, they too were wild in their youth. At one time, they, you know, lived out their own flavor of rebellion in their times. And they paid dearly, or they had friends that paid dearly. And so, in love, my parents, they would have gladly offered me tremendous perspective to set me up for success in life in every way, loving God, loving people. But again, I didn't want their opinion because my heart was evil and my deeds were evil. And I loved the darkness and I loved the obscurity and I feared coming into light for fear of exposure. But could you imagine? And if you're a young person, could you imagine what could happen if you could go back in time and humble yourself before the people that truly loved you and were looking out for you, that had the best in mind for you, like your parents? I pray you had good parents, but there were people that were looking out for you, teachers, mentors, coaches. It's not just parents. And what if you would have embraced their discernment? Do you feel a little bit of that regret? Like, what if you would have embraced their understanding, their perspective in life? You know, parents are far more understanding and they're far more discerning about you, your character, your friends, their character, than you could ever imagine. And so I'll say this to the young people. They're probably, hopefully there's at least one listening. I can help one maybe. If you're a young person living forward, going forward, if you were to honor your parents and respect them, think about how much grief you'd be spared in life. Your parents are invaluable because they're outside of your youth echo chamber. And they're outside your youthful, rebellious subculture. That's always, you know, when you're in your teens and in early 20s, that's the rebellious subculture. It changes on the outside of that time frame, that season of life. But if in that season of life you were to listen, boy, you could really help yourself. My parents would have said what the father in Proverbs said to his son. Look at these words. He says, my son, if they say come with us, This continues what we just read. Don't travel that road with them. Don't set foot on their path, because their feet are running toward evil and they're in a hurry to shed blood. It is useless to spread a net where any bird can see it, but they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. The parent is pointing out the foolishness. Your friends are foolish. They're being idiotic. They're doing things thinking that they're getting away with something that they're never going to get away with. It's going to backfire on them, and you're going to be right in the middle of that mess in the aftermath of their bad character. The power of friendship is this. Your friends can entice you away from your parents' way, right? They can entice you away from the fear of God to pathways of destruction. It's better to deal with this now than later and learn it later and look back and learn it in retrospect. It's better to live better going forward, right? And so I love this, my son, because I'll tell you, one of the things that did change for me as a young person is I gave my life to Christ and I received the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so even when I was being stupid, the Holy Spirit was in constant dialogue with my soul and spirit saying, whose son are you? Do you want to be my father's son? Do you want to be your father's son? Or do you want to be a son of hell? Do you want to be a son of the devil? Whose child are you? And so we do well to really recognize the power that friends have to influence us and to redirect us. Now, here's a second lesson that I've learned about friendship throughout my life, and it's in Proverbs, is there's a transference of character in regards to relationships and friendships. There's a transference that goes on. The character of your friends, or the lack thereof, the personality of your friends, their temperament, their intellect, their intellectual IQ, their social or emotional IQ. I'll add this, their racial IQ, or the lack thereof. All of that stuff, the skills, the abilities, the aptitudes, the speech, the attitudes, values, habits, the flaws, the strengths, whatever, you become like whoever you are most with. Do you realize that? And that's why it's so important for us to be together as the body of Christ, and it's so dangerous for us to be apart, is because we have a positive influence on who one another's becoming. And when we're out in the world, I'm just saying there's a lot of transfers, there's a lot of people rubbing off on us and taking us in the wrong direction. And early on, especially early on in my life, I became far more like my friends than I ever did becoming like Christ. Only later in life have I become more like Christ and less like my once fleshly friends. You know, I surrounded myself with spiritual friends and people that can encourage the best part of my life before God, and it's made a huge difference. It's really painful to reflect on these proverbs and just to go back and say, yeah, you know, I did become like that crowd that I used to run with, and yeah, that was detrimental to my character in so many ways. Here's a couple of proverbs that kind of, they may make us feel a little bit embarrassed and ashamed, but we can learn, we can go forward the right way. Proverbs 13:20, the one who walks with the wise will become wise. There it is. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. So there's transference. There's effect that people have on us and we on them. I spent way too much of my time around stupid, foolish, fleshly people instead of wise, spiritually rooted lovers of God and lovers of people. I'm just being honest with you. And I'm sure that maybe you feel that way about your life too. So teach people about that. Tell your kids about that. And break that down for them. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Look at this one. Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't become a companion of a hot-tempered person, or what? You will learn his ways, and you'll entangle yourself in a snare. When I spent time with people who hated their parents and disrespected their parents and disobeyed them, guess what I became? Angry, disrespectful, a hater of my parents. When I spent time around angry, politically partisan people, guess what I became? an angry political partisan. So please take note of that. When I tuned into caustic voices around me, I began echoing those same caustic viewpoints and opinions and attitudes and values. So you want to make friends with an angry person and hang around an angry person, you know, it's going to be a snare for you. It's going to undermine your life. Proverbs 23, 20 through 21. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine or with those who gorge themselves on meat, for the drunkard and glutton will become poor and grogginess will clothe them in rags. You're going to hear that verse a few more times throughout this series. When I spent time with indulgent friends, I became indulgent. Ironically, I never indulged in, I can actually say this with integrity, I never indulged in any wine or alcohol ever in my life, even as a young person. Isn't that crazy? But I sure became fat, okay? I never indulged in drugs. They were put in my face. I was pressured and bullied. And, you know, I lived on the island with the soccer ball through high school in some ways, to be honest with you, because I wouldn't. But I sure filled my mind with a lot of impurity. My friends fed the worst parts of my character. And they tried the wine, they tried the drugs, but for whatever I wasn't open to, there was far more that I was. And oh, how I wish that I could go back and have disciplined myself as a young person. How might my physical health be different if I didn't indulge sugar and caffeine and carbs in the way that I did as a young person? I can't even get into all that. Like, man, I had sugar constantly. I used to drive around on my bicycle with a 2 liter of Pepsi and just like one or two of them things a day. I mean, whatever, but it can't be good for you. And how might my emotional or mental or social health be different if I'd hungered and thirsted for righteousness instead of gratifying the flesh as a young person? So indulgence rubs off on us. Proverbs 27:17, you are familiar with this one. As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. Iron can definitely sharpen iron. But you know, iron can also dull other iron. It just depends on your angle, right? And I have to say that like as I progressed through high school, God's Holy Spirit increasingly got my attention. He was always there. He never, like from the moment I made a decision for, he was always there. But as I progressed in life, I began hanging around with people who were smarter than me, intentionally. People who were more spiritually minded than I was, who were more disciplined, who were more sharp than I was. Just as dull friends can dull and derail you early on, so for me, later in life, sharper friends and more spiritually minded friends bettered me. Your spouse can be your best friend. There's no one who has made me a better person than Laura, all right? Don't tell her that. It'll go to her head. No, I'm just kidding. But it's true. It's very true. There's no one that's made me a better person than my parents, than Laura's parents, Don and Margaret, than the people that are in this church, than some of the people that I work most closely with, like Jay Brooks and Brad Owens, and more recently, Eric Radecki. But there's transference is my point. And there's power and there's influence in friendship. And of all the things you can ignore in the next generation, do not ignore friendships and who your kids are with and who they're being influenced by. That's the most important thing. Lesson three. In the Proverbs, I started reflecting on the nature of an authentic friendship. And it got me thinking, how many authentic friendships have I had? And how many kind of fake or superficial friendships have I had? I've wasted a lot of time in life trying to force relationships that just weren't there and maybe even shouldn't have been there. Proverbs 25:17 says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Otherwise, he'll get sick of you and hate you. We got any of those folks here this morning? I don't even need to explain that proverb, do I? We can force ourselves on people. We can become space invaders. And people, they might be warm, but man, we're annoying. It's not a real friendship, see? There's a couple other proverbs that kind of convicted me about this idea of forcing relationships. Proverbs 17:1. Better a dry crust, doesn't that sound appetizing? Dry crust. With peace than a house full of feasting where there's strife. We engage environments and circles of relationships where there might be something that we really enjoy, that we can indulge in even, but it's not a helpful environment, and those aren't helpful relationships. Proverbs 23, 6 through 8. Don't eat a stingy person's bread. A stingy person is someone that doesn't have grace and generosity toward you. They're tolerating you. And you know it, but you don't want to acknowledge it. But they're stingy. They're withholding. They're kind of like, you know, not enthusiastic about you. And don't desire his choice food, for it's like someone calculating inwardly. Eat and drink, he says to you, like his words say something, but his heart is not with you. It's the same thing we do with God. Sometimes our words are right, but our heart's not right. So we confess something with our mouth, but we don't believe it in our heart. Same thing in relationships with people. But his heart's not with you. You will vomit the little that you've eaten, and you'll waste your pleasant words. You know, you're overcompensating. You're saying this. You're trying to soothe it over. You're trying to be funny. You're trying to fit in. You're trying to be accepted. You're going through all this effort. And then when you leave, you just got kind of a sick feeling in your stomach about the whole thing. Maybe you even lost a little self-respect, how much you've put yourself out there. How many times have you accepted an invitation only to quickly realize, this person doesn't respect me. They barely like me. They barely tolerate me. They're not for me. You know that in your spirit. I may want to be, you may want to be liked and loved by someone, but I can't really control whether someone does, and neither can you. The harder in life that I've tried to force inauthentic friendships, the more impossible they came and the less satisfying they became. And it's because they don't have generosity toward you. Look at Proverbs 19:4. Wealth attracts many friends, but a poor person is separated from his friend. So wealth attracts relationships, but there might be, you know, the poor person, what friend have they been separated from? You, potentially. And so what's crazy is, like, for superficial reasons, even prejudiced reasons, we might be truly missing an authentic friendship that is right under our nose. And so this proverb's telling us, don't overlook, don't write off a friendship with a person, maybe they're of lower status than you are, in your mind anyway. They're probably like a person could be right under your nose, and they will eat with you, and they will befriend you, and their heart will be with you, and your heart will be with them. But you might sell that kind of a relationship off because you're seeking a higher status relationship with a person you're trying to impress. Maybe they have more money, maybe they have more toys, whatever, but you're willing to sell one thing for the other. But with the other, you end up with less. You end up with less. Like this person over here could have offered you the richness of relationship. And so, you know, this, I've just reflected on which relationships are authentic, which are built on superficial things. I wish I were an even better friend. That's lesson number 4. One part of ministry that is so incredibly frustrating, and it's actually proven to be an unresolvable kind of burden, to be honest. I look at it as like just the nature of ministry. But it often seems that the pastoral role demands that I continually widen my circle of relationships with many people, even superficially. Like it's the handshake relationship, right? The token nod, smile, like while never substantially deepening friendships with a few. And that is a horrible formula for satisfying relationships in life. To go a mile wide and never get even an inch deep in relationships. And sometimes the nature of our role, and I'm saying as a pastor, that is almost the nature of your role. You're touching so many folks broadly, superficial. It's hard to go deep with just a few. You don't have the bandwidth. You have limited bandwidth relationally. And so we have to be very wise about that reality. And so I don't know if you ever feel that way. I've been struggling with this for a long time. Look at some of these proverbs. Proverbs 18:24. A person with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. That friend that stays closer than a brother will watch out for you. When you have many friends and acquaintances, you know, they may or may not be paying attention. They don't have any stake to really pay attention. Proverbs 26, many a person proclaims his own loyalty, but who can really find a trustworthy person? Proverbs 19:22, what is desirable in a person is their fidelity, right? Their loyalty, their faithfulness to that relationship. It's better to be a poor person than a liar. And so Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a difficult time. My best friends are people who have walked through fire and difficulties with me. But acquaintances, they're a dime a dozen. And there's no cost to being an acquaintance of somebody or an acquaintance of a church or an acquaintance of the body of Christ. Because until you share pain and walk with somebody, you know, the brotherhood is born out when we share life together and walk through difficulties together. There's nothing deepened through superficiality. Proverbs 25:19. I hope that we don't have anybody that's like this here today, but trusting an unreliable person, like a friend, in a difficult time, and they're unreliable, they say things, token things, but they're not there for you, it's like having a rotten tooth or a faltering foot. A friend is just there for you, period. One last lesson. Guard your friendships. Guard your friendships. Friendships are so precious. They are worth every ounce of energy they demand. And they demand not just ounces, but pounds of energy. Good ones. Even good relationships, they demand lots of energy. They are precious. And you can't just set friendships on autopilot. Isn't this stuff that you've learned? Don't you think there'd be value in teaching this forward to the next generation? Don't let a friendship go on autopilot. Proverbs 27:10. Don't abandon your friend or even your father's friend. You have friends of your family that care for you, and they're not even of your same age or generation. Do not abandon, especially relationships that have spanned generations. There's people that know your family and your family's character, and they are just as vital as anyone that's maybe your exact same age. Get out of your echo chamber, right, of your own generation. Don't go to your brother's house in your time of calamity. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. I have a brother that lives near Champaign. I have a brother and sister that live near Chicago. I love them. They're family, but proximity. Proximity begets the deeper bonds. And I think it's true of them. I think it's true of me that we probably have friends who have close proximity to us that have closer bonds to us than even the biological bonds. And so the point here is that distance tests and strains, and distance also weakens bonds. Our culture is not only super transient, I mean, every year, like, you can analyze this statistically, 11% of our congregation moves away, gets a job transfer, gets irritated about Illinois or whatever it is, 11%, or they pass away or they move on to be with the Lord. But there's a transience, an ever-changing nature to relationships. But then in addition, with COVID-19, we are into this forced separation and isolation. We're not even getting together, even with those that we do know. And I'm just telling you, friendships can slip away, not just because of distance, but because of COVID-19, because of the lack of proximity. And distance, for me, has destroyed very valuable friendships. And I've tried to pursue relationships at a distance. It's just really, really almost impossible. It's hard. Not, you know, like, you, there's success stories. It's very, very hard. And, so here's some things to do to guard your friendships. Friendships demand grace and forgiveness if they're going to work. That's why I said there are a lot of energy. Proverbs 18:19. I hope you're listening really closely to this verse. An offended brother, an offended friend, is harder to reach than a fortified city. They put the walls up. They put the fortifications up. When you offend somebody, you might be burning a bridge that will never be rebuilt. And when you offend somebody, even a friend, even a brother, they're harder to reach than a fortified city. And quarrels are like the bars of the fortress. Without grace, the best of friends can become the worst of enemies. There's a proverb that says a wise person overlooks a fault. They overlook an offense. It's absolutely necessary if a friendship's going to be guarded. How do you guard friendship? You get together often. You forgive quickly. You forgive often. And let that be a note to our Facebook culture here within our church as well, that you can offend a person in a New York second. But man, once you offend a person, they might actually be unreachable. And if you think offending people is going to engender them to your cause, you're deeply mistaken. Soak that one in. That's a good proverb. Friendships demand, they demand righteousness. They demand that you live well into that relationship. Proverbs 21:21 says, the person who pursues righteousness and faithfulness and faithful love will find life, righteousness, and honor. Why aren't my friends honoring me? Well, are you living an honorable life? If you're loving God and you're loving people, that's one of the best ways to guard a friendship. But also this, speaking the truth in love within that relationship is also vital. A relationship needs to be guided by a fear of God. That's actually the foundation and the guiding star of a relationship. And so Proverbs 27:5-6 says, it's better an open reprimand than concealed love. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. Have you ever thought that the best way to deepen a friendship is not just hitting the like button every time they say something stupid or ridiculous, or you just want to be on their radar and like we? What if the most profound way to deepen a relationship is with tough conversations and tough words and taking risks? Now there's a fine line. If you offend, they may become a fortified city and never open to your visit again. But that's often not the case. If you love somebody and you speak the truth and love to them, it's better to have that kind of a friend than a person that's always like, oh, you're awesome. You know, man, you're heart. You know, like that's not probably accomplishing much. So a person that multiplies kisses and likes, that's probably not the most transformative relationship that you have, okay? Acquaintances, superficial friends will always like and love. They'll always give your status in life regardless of how on straight your path is. They'll always give you a thumbs up. A true friend will take risks, though. They'll call you out for your stupidity, and they might even say, you're being stupid. Like, they might say those words to you. They'll rebuke your foolishness. They'll risk losing your friendship to save your soul. They'll choose fearing God all day long over multiplying a bunch of fakeness and fake kisses. And I'm telling you, if you have the privilege to ever have such a friend to walk with you in grace and truth, willing to rebuke you at times, guard that friendship for the precious treasure that it is, and teach your kids to do the same. Well, that's it, folks, on friendship. There's a lot more, actually, in Proverbs. But I want to just say a simple prayer right now that we develop deeper friendships, but that we also become better friends as well. We need to do both, don't we? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your wisdom handed down to us through these scriptures. Father, help us to live forward, being better friends and embracing friends more deeply, embracing friends more profoundly, letting a fear of you, a love for you, shape that relationship. Help us be better friends in the way we respond and our faithfulness and our character and our integrity. Father, fortify us with spiritual friendships. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.